Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading the sixth chapter, sixth canto, sorry, chapter two. So, in this chapter, the messengers from Vaikuntha explain to the Yamadutas the glories of chanting the holy name of the Lord. The Vishnudutas said, "Now impious acts are being performed even in an assembly of devotees. For a person who is not punishable is going to be punished in the assembly of Yamaraj. The mass of people are helpless and must depend upon the government for their safety and security. But if the government takes advantage of this to harm the citizens, where will they go? We see perfectly that Arjamil should not be punished, although you are attempting to take him to Yamaraj for punishment." It was due to Arjamil's glorifying the holy name of the Supreme Lord that he was not punishable. The Vishnudutas explain this as follows. Simply by once chanting the holy name of Narayan, this Brahmana has become free from the reactions of sinful life. Indeed, he has been freed not only from the sins of this life, but from the sins of many, many thousands of other lives. He has already undergone true atonement for all his sinful actions. If one atones according to the directions of the Shastras, one does not actually become free from sinful reactions. But if one chants the holy name of the Lord, even a glimpse of such chanting can immediately free one from all sins. Chanting the glories of the Lord's holy name awakens all good fortune. Therefore, there is no doubt that Arjamil, being completely free from all sinful reactions, should not be punished by Yamaraj. As they were saying this, the Vishnudutas released Arjamil from the ropes of the Yamadutas and left for their own abode. The Brahmana Arjamil, however, offered his respectful obeisances to the Vishnudutas. He could understand how fortunate he was to have chanted the holy name of Narayan at the end of his life. Indeed, he could realize the full significance of his good fortune. Having thoroughly understood the discussion between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, he became a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He lamented very much for how very sinful he had been, and he condemned himself again and again. Finally, because of his association with the Vishnudutas, Arjamil, his original consciousness aroused, gave up everything and went to Hardwar, where he engaged in devotional service without deviation, always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus the Vishnudutas went there, seated him on a golden throne and took him away to Vaikuntha Loka. In summary, although the sinful Arjamil meant to call his son the holy name of the Lord Narayan, even though chanted in the preliminary stage, Namabhas was able to give him liberation. Therefore, one who chants the holy name of the Lord with faith and devotion is certainly exalted. He is protected even in his material conditional life. So that is something there. So we see there Prabhupada distinctly mentions the Namabhas platform of Arjamil chanting the holy name of the Lord. What's that? So what I'll get you to do is I'll get someone to just read the Sanskrit and just the translations. Just someone read through those for a minute just while I open up this file. Yep. Just from start from number one, and just translation, Sanskrit and translations. Well, you can if you like, or just one loudly. Yeah.
So first read the Sanskrit and the translation, or the first words.
Well, you can just keep reading the verses through.
Sri Balaraya Vacha Evante Bhagavaduta Yamaduda Pishashitam Pogadharya Tatanrajan Pratyahur Nayako Vidaha. Shukadev Goswami said, "My dear King, the servants of Lord Vishnu are always very expert in logic and arguments. After hearing the statements of the Yamadutas, they replied as follows. Sri Vishnudutta Uchuhu Aho Kashtan Dharma Drisham Adharma Svrashate Sabham Yatra Dandeshu Apapeshu Dandoyet Dhriyate Vrdha." The Vishnudutta said, "Alas, how painful it is that religion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Indeed, those in charge of maintaining this religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person. Prajanam pitaroyecha shastara sadhava samaha yadisya teshu vaishamyam samyandi sharanam prajaha." A king or government official should be so well qualified that he acts as a father, maintainer and protector of the citizens because of affection and love. He should give the citizens good advice and instruction according to the standard scriptures and should be equal to everyone. Yamaraj does this, for he is the supreme master of justice, and so do those who follow in his footsteps. However, if such persons become polluted and exhibit partiality by punishing an innocent, blameless person, where will the citizen go to take shelter for their maintenance and security? Yadyat acharati shreyan itarastat tat ihate sayat pramanam kurate logastat anivartate. The mass of people follow the example of a leader in society and imitate his behavior. They accept as evidence whatever the leader accepts. Yasyan ke shira adhaya loka sopita nirvitaha swayam dharmam adharmam va nahi veta yatha pashu sakatham nyapitatmanam krita maitram achetanam vishram bhani yo bhutanam sagrno dothumarhati. People in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocent, unintelligent citizen is like an ignorant animal sleeping in peace with its head on the lap of its master, faithfully believing in the master's protection. If a leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship?
I don't think I'm connected to the server here. Does anyone know how to do that? Connect me? I think I was, but I don't know.
Internet?
Yeah.
It's just a password problem?
Yeah.
You want to check? I can give the password.
Previously I was, but, you know. I can't run my antivirus thing, you know, I can't, I need to update something like the file.
So it's connected. It is connected to this.
It is connected.
So it's connected to ISKCON 2. Is it ISKCON 2?
ISKCON 1, ISKCON, just ISKCON.
ISKCON, okay. I'll disconnect this for some. You have to again type in the password if you forget.
So okay.
Let's see if I can connect to this one.
Because I couldn't connect, that doesn't seem to have outlined and caused some problem. Close on that occasion. I may have to disable it. So. Temporarily disable protection. So what verse did you get up to? Keep going.
Ayahi kudanirvesho janma koti amhasavavi yad avyajahaya vivasho nama sastyayanam dharehe. Ajahnava has already atoned for all his sinful actions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayana. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense, and therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation.
All right, read that purport.
The Yamadutas had considered only the external situation of Ajamal. Since he was extremely sinful throughout his life, they thought he should be taken to Yamaraj and did not know that he had become free from the reactions of all his sins. The Vishuddhas therefore instructed that because he had chanted the fourth syllable of the name Narayan at the time of his death, he was freed from all sinful reactions. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur quotes the following verses from Smriti Shastra. Namno hi yavadi shakti Pavanatharane hare Tavakratam nashaknoti Padagam Padaki naraha. Simply by chanting one holy name of Hari, a sinful man can contract the reactions of two more sins than he is able to commit. Brihat Vishnu Purana. Ashesh Avasenabi Yannami Kirtite Sarva Padakaihi Puman Vimucheda Sadhyaha Simha. If one chants the holy name of the Lord, even in a helpless condition or without desiring to do so, all the reactions of his sinful life departs. Just as when a lion roars, all the small animals flee in fear. By one chanting the holy name of the Lord, which consists of the two syllables Hari, one guarantees his path of liberation, Skandavarana. These are some of the reasons why the Vishnudutas objected to the Yamadutas taking Ajamal to the court of Yamaraj.
And read the next one and the purport as well.
Yeah. Etenevya gorusya kritam syat athanishkritam yada narayana yeti jagadachadurakshram. The Vishuddhas continued, even previously while eating and at other times, This Ajamil would call his son, saying, "My dear Narayan, please come here." Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four-syllable Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayan in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. Prabhupada, previously, when engaged in sinful activities to maintain his family, Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan without offenses. To chant the holy name of the Lord just to counteract one's sinful activities or to commit sinful activities on the strength of the chanting of the holy name is offensive. But although Ajamil engaged in sinful activities, he never chanted the holy name of Narayan to counteract them. He simply chanted the name Narayan to call his son. Therefore, his chanting was effective. Because of chanting the holy name of Narayan in this way, he had already vanquished the accumulated sinful reactions of many, many lives. In the beginning, he was pure, but although he later committed many sinful acts, he was offenseless because he did not chant the holy name of Narayan to counteract them. One who always chants the holy name of the Lord without offenses is always pure. As confirmed in this verse, Ajamil was already sinless, and because he chanted the name of Narayan, he remained sinless. It did not matter that he was calling his son, the name itself was effective.
Come on.
Stena surapo mitadru brahmaha gurutalpagaha sri raja padalko hanta eche patako pare sarveshavi akhavata idam eva sunishkradam namavyaharanam vishno yadastat vishayamatihi. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders woman, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful person may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection.
So just keep going with the translations.
By following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service. Unlike the chanting of the Lord's name, which reminds one of the Lord's same qualities, attributes, pastimes and paraphernalia, the ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommends in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement, one's mind again runs towards material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the furtive reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra or glorification of the name, faith and pastimes of the Lord is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely. At the time of death, this Ajamil helplessly and very loudly chanted the holy name of the Lord Narayan. That chanting alone has already freed him from the reactions of all sinful life. Therefore, O servants of Yamaraj, do not try to take him to your master for punishment in hellish conditions. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for a lighter sin by undergoing lightest atonement. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vow, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge, because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service, with reasoning and arguments, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu released the Brahmana Ajamil from the bondage of the Yamadutas and saved him from imminent death."
We'll just read that purport to verse 19.
Verse 10?
19. The purport to 19. Verse 19. Yeah.
In the Western countries, where the Hare Krishna movement is spreading, learned scholars and other thoughtful men are realizing its effectiveness. For example, Dr. J. Chilson Judah, a learned scholar, has been very much attracted to this movement because he has actually seen that it is turning hippies addicted to drugs into pure Vaishnavas who voluntarily become servants of Krishna and humanity. Even a few years ago, such hippies did not know the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they are chanting it and becoming pure Vaishnavas. Thus, they are becoming free from all sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. This is practical proof of the effectiveness of the Hare Krishna movement, which is supported in this verse. One may or may not know the value of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one somehow or other chants it, he will immediately be purified, just as one who takes a potent medicine will feel its effects regardless of whether he takes it knowingly or unknowingly.
Mm, mm, yeah. Important verse, that one. Mm. It's interesting how, you know, the hippies got a mention in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
For the next 10,000 years. So it's obviously an important era, because that'll be, you know, thousands and thousands of years people will say hippies. You know, yeah. What is that?
Well, so has Dr. Judah.
You know, that's, shows you the value of a little appreciation of the Hare Krishna, or just as the hippies, they took to chanting even though not really knowing what they're doing, and now they've become immortalized. Yeah, read on from text number 22. Yeah.
Having been released from the nooses of Yamaraja's servants, the Brahmana...
Oh, sorry, 21? You did 21. You did 20?
Yeah,
22.
My dear Maharaj Parikshit, was subduer of 21. All enemies, after the servants of Yamaraj had been answered by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, they went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that happened. Having been released from the nooses of Yamaraj's servants, the Brahmana Ajamil, now free from fear, came to his senses and immediately offered obeisances to the Vishnudutas by bowing his head at the Lord's feet. He was extremely pleased by the presence, for he had seen them save his life from the hands of the servants of Yamaraj. O sinless Maharaj Parikshit, the order carriers of the first Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vishnudutas, so that Ajamil was attempting to say something, and thus they suddenly disappeared from this person.
That will allow that to run. That will allow the clean up.
It's running, but the browser is not opening. So maybe we can try if Skype is working, so that way we'll know connectivity is there.
Right, okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, keep going.
After hearing the discourses between the Vishnudutas and the Vishnudutas, Ajamil could understand the religious principles that act under the three modes of material nature. These principles are mentioned in the three Vedas. He could also understand the transcendental religious principles, which are above the modes of material nature and which concern the relationship between the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, Ajamil heard glorification of the name, fame, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thus became a perfectly pure devotee. He could then remember his past sinful activities, which are greatly regretted having performed. Ajamil said, "Alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified Brahmin and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me. My father and mother were old and had no other son or friend to look after them. Because I did not take care of them, they lived with great difficulty. Alas, like an abominable lower class man, I ungratefully left them in that condition. It is now clear that as a consequence of such activities, a sinful person like me must be thrown into hellish conditions meant for those who have broken religious principles and must there suffer extreme miseries. Was this a dream I saw, or was it reality? I saw fearsome men with rocks in their hands coming to arrest me and drag me away. Where have they gone? And where have those four liberated and very beautiful persons gone who released me from arrest and saved me from being dragged down to the hellish region? I am certainly most abominable and unfortunate to have merged in an ocean of sinful activities, but nevertheless, because of my previous spiritual activities, I could see those four exalted personalities who came to rescue me. Now I feel exceedingly happy because of their visit. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly it could not have been possible." Ajamil continued, "I am a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahmanical culture. Indeed, I am sin personified. Where am I in comparison to all auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayan? I am such a sinful person, but since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life and senses, and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life. Because of identifying oneself with the body, one is subjected to desires for sense gratification, and thus one engages in many different types of pious and impious action. This is what constitutes material bondage. Now I shall disentangle myself from my material bondage, which has been caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy in the form of a woman. Being a most fallen soul, I was victimized by the illusory energy and have become like a dancing dog led around by a woman's hand. Now I shall give up all lusty desires and free myself from this illusion. I shall become a merciful, well-wishing son of birth, friend to all living entities and always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. Simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore, I shall not fall victim again to false lures of material sense gratification. Now that I have become fixed in the absolute truth, henceforward I shall not identify myself with the body. I shall give up false conceptions of I and mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Because of a moment's association with the devotees, the Vishnudutas, Ajamil detached himself from the material conceptions of life with determination. Thus freed from all material attractions, he immediately started for Haridwar. In Haridwar, Ajamil took shelter at a Vishnu temple where he executed the process of Bhakti Yoga. He controlled his senses and fully applied his mind in the service of the Lord. Ajamil fully engaged in devotional service. Thus, he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. When his intelligence and mind were fixed upon the form of the Lord, the Brahmin Ajamil once again saw before him four celestial persons. He could understand that they were those he had seen previously, and thus he offered them his obeisances by bowing down before them. Upon seeing the Vishnudutas, Ajamil gave up his material body at Haridwar on the bank of the Ganges. He regained his original spiritual body, which was a body appropriate for an associate of the Lord. Accompanied by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Ajamil boarded an airplane made of gold. Passing through the airways, he went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Ajamil was a Brahmana who, because of bad association, had given up all Brahmic culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus, he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name of Narayan. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge and meditation in mystic yoga, because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reactions, one who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life, regardless of his having a material body and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas who carry out the order of Yamaraj do not approach him even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffenselessly chant the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead?
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. So, there's some significant points, because in verse 43 in the purport describes there that some devotees go to Vaikuntha Loka and others go to Goloka Vrindavan to become associates of Krishna. Yeah. You know, if they have, if you know, people may come and chant the holy name of the Lord, but you know, they may be very attached to Lord Narayan, or and that therefore they may go to Vaikuntha Loka, just like Bhishma. Bhishma, I think, went to Lord Vaikuntha. So even though he was participated in Krishna's pastimes and saw Krishna at the time of death, he went to, because he was attached to Lord Narayan, that's where he went. So it's not necessary that everyone who comes to ISKCON and chants Hare Krishna will go to Krishna Loka. You know, that's for those who develop the Krishna Prema in that Braja mood, or you know, who want to desire that. So it's a very important point. And but first one has to give up one's, as it describes here, he was you know, Ajamil had become so entangled in the illusory energy that says he was victimized by the illusory energy and became like a dancing dog led around by a woman's hand. So, you know, that is the nature of the material energy. So, you know, it's...
is that? Talking about the holy name.
Yeah.
After this episode, Ajamil became purified. He was able to sing in his chanting. And, so the connection between Nishtha Bhakti and chanting the holy name, how they are connected? The same
with
Nishtha, what's the kind of chanting one?
Right. In Nishtha Bhakti, you know, one is still trying to avoid inattention and offences in the chanting. So it's clearing, you know, that one is not intentionally committing aparads, but there may be some offences to the holy name being committed. Those and especially, you know, there may be Vaishnava aparad, which is the most creates the most impediments, because, you know, Nishtha Bhakti means that one has faith in the holy names, and that faith is becoming very steady. And one is also gaining transcendental knowledge in the science of the holy name of the Lord and Krishna consciousness about what, you know, who is Krishna, what is our relationship with Krishna, and you know, what is the ultimate goal of one's life, you know, Krishna Prema. So on that platform, they're gaining knowledge. And such a person is becoming a Madhyama Adhikari, you know. So Nishtha Bhakti means that they're becoming from the platform of unsteady, neophyte, they're coming to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. That means that they're beginning to understand and develop a relationship with the Supreme Lord. They're beginning to develop proper relationships with the devotees, serving the advanced devotees, making friendships with those who are peers, and you know, trying to help some who are more neophyte than themselves. And they're avoiding associating with envious persons. So, you know, those realizations are becoming more and more fixed up. So as they become, you know, when we talk about Majjhima Adhikari, you have, you know, Majjhima Adhikari from the beginning, pretty much starting from Nishta. You have Majjhima Adhikari, you know, on the next stage of Ruchi and Shakti. And then from the platform of Shakti, that person is, you know, becoming, you know, the beginning stages, the transition between Majjhima Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, and, you know, as they develop symptoms of Bhava Bhakti, then, you know, the Uttama Adhikari symptoms are there, and on that platform they're able to, you know, feel the presence of Krishna very strongly everywhere they go. So the on the platform of you know, Shraddha, you know, devotees are able to, you know, and you know, Bhajani Kriya and Nishta, they're becoming qualified to have realization about the holy names of the Lord. As they come further, you know, to Ruchi and Shakti, they become qualified to have hear and chant about, and to have more realization also about the name of the Lord on that first platform, and then they become qualified to have realizations about the name and the form of the Lord. You know, from sort of the mature stage of Nishta and you know, Ruchi especially, and then Shakti, and then the you know, from the name and the form, then they become qualified to understand the qualities of the Lord. So that's sort of from memory, it's, you know, Shakti, and then they become qualified for the pastimes of the Lord, so from Bhava, and then from Prema Bhakti they become qualified more for Rasa. So the, you know, when it describes that, you know, one who understands Krishna in truth, you know, they become eligible to go back to Godhead. So you see there that, you know, what is that understanding of Krishna? So understanding of Krishna, you know, there is some knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and gradually that matures into a, you know, firm conviction that I have an eternal relationship with the Lord, and sort of becoming fixed up as the eternal servant of the Lord and chanting his holy name with that great faith in the mood of service to the holy name of the Lord. But then, you know, as that service attitude matures and one gets a taste for devotional service, and one begins to, you know, try and perfect and purify the service and comes to, you know, like a Shakti, then, you know, the more firm realizations about Krishna's qualities and then pastimes, you know, begin to manifest. So, you know, while one's chanting, you know, one is chanting with realization and remembrance, you know, of Krishna's pastimes. So, for instance, you know, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan and the cowherd boys, you know, their, you know, understanding Krishna's qualities. There's no question of understanding those pastimes unless one understands Krishna's name, form and qualities. You know, that they're completely spiritual. You know, Krishna's qualities, when he is associating with the gopis, there's no lust. You know, even though he's associating, they're associating with him, there's no material nature of lust. If one misunderstands Krishna's qualities and thinks that, you know, Krishna is having lusty dealings with the gopis, then there's no question of understanding the pastimes of that. And you know, understanding Krishna's qualities includes understanding his multifarious energies, you know, that as well that, you know, he... understanding Krishna's qualities sort of includes how he is utilizing his various qualities, his, you know, mercy shakti, kripa shakti, his that. So those different realizations correspond to different levels of chanting. You know, so in other words, someone chanting on the platform of Nishta does not have the same realizations as someone chanting in the platform of Ruchi or a Shakti, at that, and those realizations are in stages of understanding Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, at that.
Yeah. But if, as you said, anybody who is misunderstanding Krishna as taking it to be ordinary lust, I mean,
well, there may be some, but there still may be some misunderstandings or inability to understand. So, you know, someone who may even have some faith, but if they're hearing Krishna's pastimes with the gopis and it's they're becoming a little agitated by sex desire, because those pastimes are very, you know, they remind them of, you know, what they're conditioned to enjoy in this material world, then Prabhupada says, you know, if you're hearing those pastimes, then stop. But otherwise, if you're hearing those pastimes and they're actually, you know, you're on the level where when you hear them, they actually, if there are some, you know, material desires, that hearing process removes them. So you may be, you know, you may have some material desires, attraction to the opposite sex, but when you hear the beautiful pastimes of Radha Krishna, how they're just very loving, and then, you know, the devotee may think, oh, you know, that's so nice, you know, that sweet, loving, pure interaction, that's what I'm attracted to. And this, you know, gross, you know, so-called love in the material world, which is really just, you know, sense gratification, and they, you know, when I compare the two, I'm really, you know, lose my taste for that. So if one is hearing Krishna's pastimes and you know, it is actually removing those lusty desires, then, you know, you keep hearing, you know, in the proper association. But if one is chanting Hare Krishna, even though they have faith in Krishna, and somehow, you know, when they're remembering the different pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, and you know, lusty desires are becoming agitated in the heart, then, you know, it shows that even with one's faith is not very, you know, it's still very, you know, not quite mature, you know. So it needs more maturity. So it's not as if there's no faith there, but it may not be very steady. You know, sometimes hearing of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis can actually shake one's faith, you know, that those pastimes are, you know, are so human-like and so much like sex attraction in the material world that, you know, they can actually really disturb one's faith in Krishna, you know, if one is not on significant, if one, you know, hasn't got sufficient strong realization about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know. So, Gopi Vrindesh? Yeah, so is that what you were alluding to? Yeah, so that, you know, the different stages there, you know, from Shraddha to Prema,
yeah.
Each stage has a progression that, you know, I may have my forward is slightly not quite correct, but from memory it's from, you know, even up to about Nishta is, you know, person is qualified for.
Yeah, so you mean, you know, just referring to you and Shivaram has wrote a lot of books.
Who's that?
Shivaram Maharaj.
Yeah.
Shivaram wrote a lot of books on past interpretations. So if one wants to, at least one has to be on the platform of Nishta, right?
That's right. He says that in his books, that he tells you straight out in his books who's qualified to read my books like this. That yes, you know, if there's a you know, someone who is you know, on a certain platform, you know, if that I think up to about Nishta is you know, like. One is qualified to chant the holy names of the Lord, you know, and to study, you know, the books and the philosophy, trying to increase one's faith and understanding, realization in Krishna, particularly related to the holy name of the Lord and how to chant and understand that holy name of the Lord. You know, then from about that same platform, one can also begin to, you know, enter into understanding the form of the Lord. You know, to meditate upon the form of the Lord, and hear the different descriptions of the form of the Lord, and the form of his associates. And then, you know, from there, understanding, you know, as one progresses from, you know, Ruchi and, you know, Shakti, what have you, then one can meditate upon, you know, the qualities of the Lord's form, you know, that he has, you know, 64 principal qualities, you know, his beauty. You know, Krishna is very, very beautiful. His, you know, his beauty. You know, there are four qualities amongst the 64, which are, you know, superlative. You know, one, his beauty is unsurpassed, the sweetest. There's no one sweeter than Krishna's form and beauty. You know, his pastimes are, you know, very, very beautiful and sweet, and his flute playing. And, you know, one of his qualities is always surrounded by, you know, very, you know, wonderful devotees like that. So, you know, these four, you know, particularly. So one can meditate upon, you know, that. And again, you know, it does take a certain amount of maturity as a devotee, you know, to meditate upon Krishna and his flute playing, and, you know, or the fact that he's surrounded by, you know, so many gopis enjoying different pastimes. So, you know, these are different qualities, but, you know, then entering into, so what are those pastimes, you know? So that's like a quality, that he's surrounded by all these beautiful, you know, women, gopis. That's one of his qualities, you know, chanting, you know, that's... so even that meditation itself, you know, if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're chanting, you know, you see thousands and thousands of the most beautiful, you know, gopis surrounding Krishna, you know, that in itself, you know, can disturb someone's mind, just to know that's the quality of God, you know, really, what's he doing with all those, you know. So then what are they doing? That's the next thing. You can't just, you know, if that picture is somehow disturbing the mind, then, you know, when they start talking sweet talk to each other and dancing and kissing, you're going to have real problems, you know. So, you know, and his form, you know, his form is very beautiful, it's very enchanting. You know, there's a progression of, you know, one's being, you know, advanced on that, those platform initiative, those eight different platforms, and that coincides with the level of, as one's chanting, the various realizations which one is capable of meditating upon naturally and simultaneously while chanting, and you know, one may meditate upon those things during the day, and you know, or before chanting, or you know, in other words, you know, the chanting itself is a meditation, but one's you know, what one is hearing and reading and studying, meditating upon, naturally comes out during one's chanting automatically, you know, and one may purposely, you know, meditate upon, you know, certain very, you know, the Lord's pastimes, whereas another devotee should not purposely meditate upon certain pastimes of Krishna, the gopis, to, you know, to supplement, as the main focus while they're chanting. For them, it's really shishastikam, you know, that I'm chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it cleanses the heart, you know, like that, and, you know, cleans away sinful reactions, like here, you know, we understand, like with Ajamil, you know, meditating here. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, it takes away so much sinful reactions. That's enough. That's difficult for people to understand. You know, this realization is very difficult for people to understand. If they can't get past, say here, you know, this is a milestone meditation. If someone can't understand that Krishna is so pure, Param Brahman, that if you if you chant his holy names, the sinful activities over thousands and thousands of lifetimes are eradicated. That is the pivotal understanding, that if that is not there, then when you see, think of Krishna with the gopis, you think, oh, there's some impurity there. There's some material. See? When you understand this, and you think Krishna's with the gopis, but even his name is so, you know, just the shadow, the faint semblance of his name is so pure and purifying, it destroys the simple reaction for thousands and thousands of lifetimes. How can I possibly see Krishna with his associates as being impure? You see, this is the foundation of that meditation. If you don't understand this and jump to the pastimes without this, and you don't have this faith, you've got no hope of ever, you see? So, Prabhupada mentions that, Sukadeva Goswami mentions it, you know, that, Brahma Sukha, you know, the source of spiritual pleasure, happiness, he's, you know, crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and, you know, the cowherd boys are, you know, associating with him and something like that. Now, the Brahmavadis, they're sacrificing everything over many, many, many lifetimes to get a little taste of Brahmasukha. So, many, many lifetimes, they're sacrificing everything, all, you know, and performing severe austerities to get a little taste of Brahmasukha. And Krishna himself is the personified form, the source of all Brahmasukha. How is it possible that he could be attracted or somehow attracted to something material? So these understandings, when they're fixed up, you know, just like Lord Ramchandra. Now, you know, one may think, Lord Ramchandra is feeling separation from Sita because she's been kidnapped by Ravana. But there's no question of understanding that pastime, which is actually a spiritual pastime where one realizes the pleasure of love in separation, which has nothing to do with any material. There's no question of understanding that pastime if one doesn't understand. There's no question of you know, Lord Ramchandra being anything else but complete and full and self-satisfied eternally. So Lord Ramchandra, that is the very quality of God. He's always complete, always full, always self-satisfied. Then where is the question of separation from Sita? So it's not a material thing, there's some spiritual rasa. So there are fundamental understandings about the nature of the Lord which begin with his holy name. You know, especially, you know, the holy name is very significant because, you know, it is sound vibration. Sound vibration is, you know, we know that that name of Krishna is belongs to Krishna, who has a form, but you know, sound vibration or mantra you know, within the back of our mind, we know it's attached to the personal form, but really it's, you know, for those who have not quite a comfortable attitude to spiritual form, you know, the holy name of the Lord is not too confronting, is it? You know, because it's more sound, it's more an all-pervasive sort of energy, isn't it? You know, something is like an... Although actually it's not different from, it's not different from the form. But in other words, you know, for people getting associated with the Supreme Lord, the form of God is much more confronting for those who can't accommodate the personality of Bhagavan than his holy name. Even though, but it's an introduction because Krishna is someone's name. So it's an introduction to personalism, but without being as confronting. You can also, you could just about put his form, you know, in the background. You know you're chanting someone's name. There's the personalism there, but it's about as, it's just an introduction. You're just on the threshold. So, but it's not as confronting. So then you may, you know, gradually be able to accommodate the form. That's not confronting. Yes, God has a form. I'm not confronted by that. And then his qualities, he's not just, you know, standing there, you know, separately from anyone else. He has a whole spiritual kingdom, the whole, you know, surrounded by so many qualities. So each one, each step is more and more confronting. How did you go with that? Did you? Still working on that?
Yeah.
What's that?
We're just checking whether the network is...
Right.
He's going to the reception.
Yeah.
Check. I think it's time for more.
And what happened at reception?
No, I was just Googling to see if I could find a resolution. But
right.
So far I can't find it.
So there's nothing wrong with the network here? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, well, network is working.
I think, I can't tell. I actually can't tell.
Can't tell, right.
Because the laptop is connecting to it, fine. It says connected.
Right.
But it's not loading anything.
But it happened, I can check online.
Yeah. Okay. Because I have my office... worked, you know, sort of about once a month it sort of reloads, and this is the day. So to open that file, I have to wait till office loads. And because there was something wrong with the connectivity, what happened was my antivirus didn't load up. But because it didn't load up, it seems that, you know, it detected that other things were loading up. So there's some it is working. There appears to be some connectivity, but I don't know what's happening. It's not allowing me to...
There are some viruses also.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 3:30. So look, let's just leave it there. We read the whole chapter. So next week, we will actually have that long discussion about this chapter, right? About all the, you know, different aspects of the offences chanting, yeah?
Also, Prabhupada, most devotees, they know that in the rasa dance, they actually are meant to, when you listen to that, you actually start becoming free, well, not free, but at least take cessation desire or whatever.
Yeah.
Still, they are not, they know that and they have that faith, but they are not free from lust here. Until next time, we can discuss next time.
Yeah. Generally, some devotees can just incidentally, as they're reading through Prabhupada's books, certain verses, certain sections come across some very, you know, more confidential pastimes of Krishna. And so because they're just reading it incidentally, then they just sort of read through, and that's good. But they may not be, recommended to hover around there too much, you see. So, just if things come up incidentally and you're hearing them in the right association, then that's fine. If devotees are too much hovering around some of Krishna's pastimes, they could get themselves in a bit of trouble. You know, if some of his confidential pastimes. You know. All right then. Okay. Next week we're going to go into the whole full-on conversation on commenting on those verses,
yes.
and a whole conversation about the different stages of chanting Hare Krishna. All right. Thank you very much. Are you going to my
place? So I just want to make yourself some time.
Yeah.
So they haven't seen him for the last 8 years. So it's my responsibility to take him away.
Yeah.